We left off yesterday. The Gemara and Daf Zayin compares and contrasts dinim of Omer Bruvel Aparetz. Hiluch Shabbos, Hiluch Such. Hiluch Shabbos is an absolute given. Omer Bruvel Aparetz has to be nothing to discuss. When it comes to Sukkah, no, there's no dinim Bruvel Aparetz. So we have no. We haven't yet gotten past the Shabbos part, but we get to discuss the Sukkah part. But just in terms of the Shabbos part, is that really true that there's nothing to discuss? Omer Bruvel Aparetz is an absolute. So the Gemara sounds that way in the first paragraph of Sefer Erevin. The Gemara even subscribes the principle of Omer Bruvel Aparetz to the realm of Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. That seems like a pretty heavy din. The problem is that there's a whole sugya in the beginning of the second paragraph of Erevin called Pasi Biros, and the very institution of Pasi Biros undermines Omer Bruvel Aparetz. Pasi Biros, the definition is not Omer Bruvel Aparetz. How could that be? So we had two Birim yesterday. One of the Birim was Taisus. Taisus in the second paragraph of Erevin says that there is no real din called Omer Bruvel Aparetz. It's not like an absolute Omer Bruvel Aparetz. Omer Bruvel Aparetz was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a way of measuring whether something is a Pesach or not. It's another fact, it's another criteria to determine whether you have a Pesach. Pesach is a good thing and appearance is a bad thing. So normally the criteria to determine whether something is a Pesach or an appearance revolve around Tanames, Omer Bruvel Aparetz, etc. But if you have what's called Shem Dal Mechitzas, you have four corners like Pasi Biros, so that by definition declares that any holes, any breaks in the middle are Psachim, not Pirtzis. So it's not an ironclad rule called Omer Bruvel Aparetz, according to Taisus. It's there, it's necessary, it's a Din Deraisa, but its goal is Pesach Pirtz oriented. And Pasi Biros can circumvent that, reach that goal in a little bit of a different way. Then we had another Rishayim, the Rash, the Ran, who said, no, that is a real Din Deraisa called Omer Bruvel Aparetz. And there's another Din Deraisa called Pasi Biros. And part of these worlds of Halacha Moshe B'Sinai and Mechitzas is that either Omer Bruvel Aparetz or Shem Dal Mechitzas can be effective. So according to the first Dan Tosas, yes, there is a Din Deraisa Omer Bruvel Aparetz, but it's the Torah's Psachim. According to the second day, according to the Rashi and the Ran, it's a real din, but there's an exception to that. Now we have a third possibility. That's the sheet that's quoted in the name of the Rav. The Rashi, of course, the name of the Rav, very, very difficult at first glance to understand. The Rav says that sugi about Omer Bruvel Aparetz doesn't really exist. Not that it doesn't exist, but it's not as powerful, not as strong as you thought it was. You thought it was Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Why did you think that? Because the Gemara said it. So the Rav said, no, the Gemara doesn't. The real din of Pasi Biros, the real din of Omer Bruvel Aparetz is only Midrabah. It's not Achum Midrabah. Minah Torah. What's the Shia Mechitzas? I don't know what the Shia Mechitzas Four corners. I don't know. Whatever the Shia Mechitzas is, Minah Torah. You don't really need Omer Bruvel Aparetz. What is the Gemara Minah Aparetz? It's only Midrabah. Right, the Gemara says, Hachach Merechaman Ula Moshe. So the Rishayim, in defending the Ravid, say something rather startling. They almost invoke the principle the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Eskol Advar Ma'ela. So the Chazal say that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Luchos, showed him all Kol Torah Kula, and he even showed him all the Dinim D'Rabbanim. That was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chacham, and this generation are going to do this, and this generation are going to do that, this generation is going to do that. It was Moshe to Moshe Rabbeinu, all the Dinim D'Rabbanim as well. Now, it doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted those Dinim D'Rabbanim. It doesn't even mean that he was most of them to Klal Yisrael. There's no reason to believe. Why is he going to tell them to Klal Yisrael for? Why should he wait Klal Yisrael's time telling them there's going to be a Din D'Rabbanan in 800 years from now? So Mestama, all Chazal meant is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that. That was part of Chachmas HaTorah. Built into Chachmas HaTorah with all the Din D'Rabbanan that are going to come in years and years and years to come. So when Chazal say, Hachi Agmar Rechaman L'Moshe, Lo Sifrat Ruba, Hachi Agmar L'Moshe, Gedar Ruba, what that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu that in the last love at some days then, Some days in between the days of Yuma Shabenu and the days of Rida Nosi, there's going to be some generation that's going to be massacring this idea called Omer Bruvel Aparetz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just letting Moshe Rabbeinu know about this in the future. But does the Gemara mean that Omer Bruvel Aparetz was Nimsa to Moshe Rabbeinu, was part of Torah that's Noyeg Lamaisa right now, Pashe Hosham, to be Nimsa to Klal Yisrael's Hilchus Mechitza? No. Hilchus Mechitza that would Nimsa to Moshe Rabbeinu would love it, Devin Akumba, Gurasik, and Shem Dal Mechitzah, whatever the definition of Mechitzah are. This din was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, was Nigma to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it wasn't Nimsa to Moshe Rabbeinu that it should be part of Torah yet, not until the Chum Masakat at Liyosul Lavo. Very, very startling way of reading the Gemara. A very fascinating way of reading the Gemara, but very, very startling way. If the Rishonim wouldn't have said it, I wouldn't have said this. But the Rishonim said it's Pemolei, Bedasa, Bedasa Raivin. This pshat, that always throws into question. So something that I always say. You know, sometimes when we over-dramatize, we try to say, what would Moshe Rabbeinu say about this din? Right? Sometimes I'll say, is this a derais? Is this a din derabanan? So I'll always say, if you bring the shah to Moshe Rabbeinu, what would he say? What was always my response? He'll say, I never heard of it. Never heard of such a thing. It's so different. So according to this rabbi, that's not true. According to the rabbi, what Moshe Rabbeinu's response to me, of course I heard about it. It's on the hush and hush. I'm not supposed to tell you about it. It's not part of Torah yet. It's not going to come until 1,000 years from now. But of course, Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything. It's called Vermeil. He was Nimsa. I feel a Mikra Megillah. That's what the Gemara says. I know it's a hard rabbi to understand. It's very difficult rabbi to understand. There's a little bit of a mashu with this rabbi that sounds very similar to something that we have quoted many, many times. It's a famous aside from Rabbi Chanan. I think we spoke about it even earlier in the Chinuch Sugyos. Rabbi Chanan explains his famous beer about Tzivi HaTorah and Ratzon HaTorah, that you have to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, and have to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do, even though he hasn't told it to you. Who remembers when we spoke about this? When did we talk about Chinuch? We said that Rabbi Chanan had a kash, according to the non-Ramban camp, those who share him will say, the Chinuch is a chiv that's munach on the child. The child's not a bar chiyuva. Bishlam Ragodol could have a chiyuv chinuch because I'm a chiyuv to listen to the Beis Din. So when the Beis Din institutes chinuch, I'm stuck. I have to be mechalek my child. But if the chiyuv chinuch is clapping the child, like Taisus or like the Ramban, if there's a real chiyuv chinuch in the child, so then what's the mechayev? What gets the ball rolling? What gets the engine going? Why am I chayev to do a mitzvah? I'm not chayev to listen to the boys. I'm not chayev in the saucer. So what's mechayev me to do mitzvahs on the level of the Rabbanan? Rabbi Chanan said that a child is not chayv in tzivuya Torah, but a child is chayv in ratzon abayri. That once a child understands, old enough to understand what the Rabbi Shalom wants of him, he has to do whatever that ratzon is. So once the chama mesakein chinuch is the ratzon Hashem, once they're megalotas, that's the ratzon Hashem, that even the 10-year-olds should do mitzvahs. You think the ratzon Hashem is that 10-year-olds should be mechal Shabbos? You think the ratzon of the Rabbi Shalom is that when the kid's 12 and a half, he shouldn't daven? The ratzon Hashem is that he's the day before his bar mitzvah, he shouldn't make kiddush? No, the ratzon Hashem is he should do mitzvahs. I was having this discussion with my daughter. She's only turning 11 soon. So she said to me, I didn't tell this Rabbi Chanan, but she said to me that one of my teachers said that we don't really have to keep Shabbos yet. I said, that's why I'm paying tuition. You don't really pay it. So what she meant to say was that it was a pre-bas mitzvah, like gearing them up, because she's a little bit younger. She's only turning 11, but she's the youngest in the class. So a lot of some of the girls are ready to become bas mitzvah. So the teacher was teaching them about how important it is now that they're turning bas mitzvah now. So my daughter, who's a year before bas mitzvah, that's why she's a lot bas das. She's a year before bas mitzvah. So she picked up, her message was, oh, now I'm not going to bas mitzvah. So I tried to tone that down a little bit. So I quoted Rabbi Chanan, says, fakir, it's a ratzon Hashem. Right, okay, good. So Rabbi Chanan also in that same piece says that he thinks that maybe that's the mechayev of doing the rabbanans in general. It's famous kasha, according to Machlekes Rambam and the Ramban, when the losasar includes mitzvahs the rabbanan. The Rambam says that the mitzvah losasar includes you have to listen to the Beis and Agadol when they tell you about what halacha mashtinas are. You have to listen to them when they explain to you a new dinim, when they're medam milsa milsa, they extrapolate new dinim, drushes, etc. And you have to listen to them when they make up mamish dinim the rabbanan. When they make up a mitzvah to light, today's, I think, test, what's today? Chafei? Today, what's today? Chavdal? Oh, it's not 30 days for Chanukah. Okay, so 31 days for Chanukah. So, assuming there's a din of Shlesh Yom for Chanukah. Highly questionable, but not for now. So let's say when a person is like Chanukah, it's 31 days from now. So, according to the Rambam, that's a mitzvah deraisa. That's not all that different than putting on tefillin. Not all that different than eating matzah. It's the mitzvah deraisa of Asher Yom Lecha Ta'asa. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah deraisa of listening to the Chachmei HaTorah who instituted Neres Chanukah. And the Ramban says, Lo Hayu Dvamei, the Ramban says, Lo Sosser goes on Pirushim of Meisinai, Lo Sosser goes on Darshanim Psukim, Kavachemiz, Lo Sosser doesn't go on brand new halachas. So what's the Mechayef to listen to the Chacham when they make a brand new dinim derabbanan? So it's not 100% clear from the Ramban what the Mechayef is. What is clear is that you are chayav. The Ramban also kept didn't grow. The Ramban also there is Chanukah. The Ramban also his wife Ben Shlach. The Ramban didn't move Mukti. Didn't be Shlachim. So we know that the Ramban agrees that for sure you mechuyev to follow the Rambanan. It's just not clear in the Sefer Mitzvahs what the mechayev is. So there are different interpretations of the Ramban. So Rabbi Chanan quotes an interesting approach that he suggests that maybe the mechayev according to the Ramban is more begeder ratzon Hashem than tzivur Hashem. It means the Kadosh Baruch was a mitzaveh Pembala to light Neres Chanukah, but the Chachamim 1500 years later, when Megala that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is when you have a nace of that proportion in that manner. So we have to think of what would the Rebbe Hashem want us to respond with. So Chachamim, who are smart enough to understand the Ratzon Hashem, so the Beis Din Chashmonaim, they had a good enough understanding of what the Tzivui Hashem was, and a good enough understanding what the Ratzon Hashem was. So they figured out that Mestam the Rebbe Hashem would want us, B'chiyah Gavna, to light Neretz Chanukah, and to say Al Nisim, and to say Halal, to play Dreidel, eat Latkes, Sivkaniel, the whole nine yards. So the Chachamim weren't misaking something new according to the Ramban. They were simply megalotas what the Ratzon Hashem was under these circumstances. Well, let's say, assume the Rabbanim. So the Rabban Hashem didn't tell us not to move a pencil. The Rabban Hashem told not to write in Shabbos. Let's ask him, Lacha, can you tell us write in Shabbos? The Chachamim realized that, you know, the Rabban Hashem probably would not be thrilled with us moving pencils. It doesn't make any sense. This is not what the Rabban Hashem wants us to be doing. If he so doesn't want us to be writing in Shabbos, Mestami wants us to be more careful not to move pencils either. Chahena v'chahena. So says the Rabban Hashem, every time Chacham instituted something, they're not instituting something yesh me'ayin. They're not instituting something davar chadash. They're simply telling us what the Rabban Hashem would have wanted b'chiyah gavna. Who made them in charge of the Ratzon Hashem? How do they know what the Ratzon Hashem is? So the answer is, because they're the ones who learn Torah. When you learn Torah and you know a lot about Tzivui Hashem, then you get a little bit of intuitive what the Ratzon Hashem is. Some guy in the middle of nowhere doesn't know anything about Torah, and he's going to get up and lecture us about Ratzon Hashem. Mamashul Beitzonis. So the more Tzivui Hashem you know, the more Ratzon Hashem you're going to be in tune with. So according to that Rav Chanan, that almost smacks a little bit of this Ravid. Because what's the Ravid saying? The Ravid saying that the Rav Hashem was Maiset to Maish Rabbeinu, Allah Dinim Durabbanan. All the Dinim Durabbanan were Nimsa, and that's called Al-Hachi Agmer Rachman al-Maisha. So what does it mean, Al-Hachi Agmer Rachman al-Maisha? It means what was it? Was it Beteiras Tzivui? Why is the Rav Hashem telling Maish Rabbeinu this? If it's not relevant anyway, we'll wait for 1,000 years. So the answer is, it's all included. The Rebbe Shlom on Har Sinai was Megalat HaMesh Rabbeinu, everything was Megalat Him, Ala Chachmas HaTorah. So Likdin Chachmas HaTorah are the Tzivuyim and the Ritzonis. The Ritzonis weren't expressed yet. The Ritzonis weren't expressed but Torah Tzivui, but they're there, they're still Munach. It's all part of the Chachmas of Rebbeinu Shalom. So when the Rebbeinu Shalom was Megal the Kol Chachmas to Meshe Rabbeinu, Kamar says Meshe Rabbeinu got all the Chachmas except for one, the 50th level of Bina, he didn't, Tzadik Ralo, he still didn't get. But everything else, when everything was Nimsal Meshe Rabbeinu, so of course the Ratzon Hashem was Nimsal Meshe Rabbeinu. That's part of Chachmas Hashem, that's part of Chachmas HaTorah. It doesn't express itself as a Tzivui until the right time in history, but it's there from day one. So that's what the Ravid says, Hachi Agmechaman Lamashe. Again, it's a fascinating shot, and you can spend hours and hours and hours darshaning about it. But in terms of Ash Sugi and Erevin, it's not the popular sheet in the Rishonim. It's a very, very, very mechudish dipashita. The pashtus and the halacha is like the Gemara says, like you know, in the Kevola and the straight out. It's a din deraisa. You need over below parts. What do you do with Pasi Biral? So you got to go talk to Taisus, talk to the Rashba, look at other Rishonim. But you should just be aware that the Ravid is out there. The Rashba quotes the Ravid, and Rashba quotes the Ravid. Rishonim try to give a beer to the Ravid, but it is really the Das Yachin in the Sugya.
Yeah. It's quoted in Gemara Menachos that Moshe didn't understand the Shiurim of Rabbi Akiva. So how does that fit with this?
No, those are different for it. What that Gemara means is that all the innovative, all the creative ways that we have as Man Hazeh to try to get to the Chachmas Elokim. We have all kinds of things that have developed over the years to try to figure out how to get to the essence of Torah. So we talk about two dinim, we talk about Gavras Chavtzis, we talk about all these fancy lumdas. Rabbi Akiva had his lumdas, his dashi called Kutzishib Kutzin. So those are mechanisms to put the Megala, the Chachmas of Torah for us. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need any of that, he had the whole thing. But Reb Chaim has to write. Reb Chaim writes 2, 3, 4 pages to explain a lumda shiva. The Rambam didn't need that whole Reb Chaim. The Rambam saw it right away. He looked at the Gemara, he saw one line of the Gemara, he realized that's what it is. The nature of the din is this. Reb Chaim, the Chachmas, Reb Chaim said, Gemara, Reb Chaim needed hours and hours and hours and weeks and months to try to get to that one akud that the Rambam saw intuitively. So that's what the Gemara means. That the Dini HaTorah with Nimsa Demesh Rabbeinu, but all the creative standing over heads to get to those Dini HaTorah weren't. Okay, everybody say, good. All right, let's get back now to the regular stuff. So everybody say, this was everything we've been saying for the last day and a half is all an introduction, because just to remind you, we're learning Sukkah right now, not Shabbos at Erevin, in case you didn't know. And as such, what we really want to understand in the Sugya is what is this contrast that in Shabbos there is a din of Omer Laparts, Mashen came with Sukkah. What do those words mean that there's no din of omer v'la parts in Hilchos Sukkah? So Rashi has the following comment on this Gemara. Rashi in explaining what does it mean Masha'enkei b'sukkah. So Rashi says Masha'enkei b'sukkah Tisagilei b'shtayim k'chosel sh'shtafil tefuch. Rashi says, well, we know that the minimum amount of walls for sukkah is very, very small. Two and a something. Even though inevitably there's going to be a hole, normally, anytime you have a wall, there's probably going to be a doorway in one of the walls. So here you have the koshi two walls. You have two walls plus a little schmitch, a little almost nothing. And within those two walls, there's probably going to be doors, because everybody builds walls with doors. I mean, I don't know why you would bother building doors with walls. You have, you know, almost two full doors to get in, but that, you know, you build a wall with a hole in it, with a door in it. So now Rashi does the math for us. Now Rashi takes on the role of an architect. Rashi plays so many different roles. Now he's an architect. If you start to add up all the math, how much air space is there and how much standing wall is there? So if you, before you put any doors into the two existing walls, what were the numbers? It was 55% to 45%, because you only had shtayim k'chosel sh'shtafil tefach, so you bekoshi had more than 50% of standing, and now you throw in a couple of more doorways, and you do the math, havalei paretz meruba. It'll turn out to be paretz meruba and shy, and that's okay. So this is Rashi's cheshbon. So you have this is your standard sukkah, right? If you'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu on this one, he'd be okay with it. Everyone okay with the sukkah? Shtayim, kichos, or shizu filter. Right? The way it is now, what are the percentages of standing versus parrots? You're going to get 55 to 45, right? Okay, approximately. You start the pot, you know, banging a hole over here. Is there anything wrong with that hole? What could be wrong with that hole? How about here? Nothing wrong. Okay. Wait a second. Now the numbers just changed. Instead of 55, 45, I think we have to flip the numbers a little bit. Now you have 55 parrots and 45 homemade. What's the din of the sukkah? What's wrong? The sukkah is okay. Add 10 to Rashi. So Rashi learns that is the pshat in the Gemara of omen rubla parrots being okay in sukkah. That's all there is. There ain't no more. Thus is the din of omen rubla parrots that's kosher in sukkah above and beyond the rules of Shabbat. Who has problems with this Rashi? I shouldn't even ask that question. How many problems do you have with this Rashi? How many difficulties do you have when you read this Rashi? You get the impression from the Gemara that this gewaldige chiddush called Paretz Meruba La'omed being mutter in Hilchos Sukkah, right? The Gemara's, we finally got to this to the Braise. The Braise is comparing against your Shabbos to Sukkah. What was the theme of the Braise? You have to get into the tone of the Braise. The Braise was that Dayfin Sukkah, Dayfin Shabbos. The starting point is the baseline is Sukkah and Shabbos are the same. Right? That's the theme of the Braise. They're the same. But the Tanoim are trying to hide. But in this one area, you won't believe it. It's like get ready for the Chiddush, the bombshell Chiddush. Get ready for the Chiddush. That unlike Shabbos, where Amirullah Parts doesn't work, in Sukkah it works. Between you and me, is this like the most earth-shattering thing in the world? The fact that this sukkah is kshera, I need a braisa to tell me this. And let's say I wouldn't have had a braisa, what would I have thought about this? I would have thought this is possible. Why would I have thought this is possible? I would have thought this is possible because it's a parts boomer I made. Does this parts boomer I made? You guys don't know how to do math. Why is this parts boomer I made? What's parts boomer I made about this? This fourth wall doesn't exist in a sukkah. This is not part of the definition of a sukkah. A sukkah means three walls. Kachnem ralach, a sukkah stays for three times. The Gemara of what we learned this already, a sukkah, the starting point is gimel tefanos. So the only thing that we have to measure is, you measure from here to here, remember this, line segment, remember from first grade, line segment AB, line segment B, C, And line segment, what? C, where? How many walls do you need in a sukkah? 2 plus a little shemitchik. But didn't, weren't you there when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai? You were too busy listening to the ravids. You didn't hear this one. Shlish is up. You were paying attention to, you know, how many, what are you, 203 square now? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shlish tefil tefach. So where does the line segment of Hilchos Sukkah end? C, D. I remember when I was in first grade, so we learned that phrase, line segment. So I remember my teacher asked me, what does that mean, a line segment? This was over 45 years ago. I remember she explained to us, why is it called the line segment? I wonder why. Because the line, where does the line really end? It never ends. So I remember thinking to myself, well, that's fast. Why can't we draw a line like for everything? The whole day I was focusing on that, on a line, and she was explaining the line is called a line segment. It's a chiddush from the first grade. She was, okay. So I have a big problem. The Chayyur Rosh is Pillar Tvoyim. If you want to be down on a sukkah, whether you have Eimin Rubel or Paritz, so which part should you take into consideration? Segment A, B, B, C, C, D. This is Commander Lazy. This is like the desert. This is like the mountain. This is irrelevant. What does it do with anything? So within A, D, this new unit, I don't know what it's called, from the unit of A, D, I have more than I'm in Rubel Aparatz. I have 95% to 5%. So what's from the Braisa? But a chiddush, God, unbelievable chiddush, neva, I am, that in Hilchos Sukkah, don't worry about Rubel Aparatz. Doesn't bother me. Because this model is kosher. This model is kosher because this is Dafka. I'm in Rubel Aparatz. So it's a really, really difficult sheet, this Rashi. Very, very difficult sheet, this Rashi. To make matters a little bit worse, I want to see the following shadow. The Braisa is comparing and contrasting Hilchos Sukkah to Hilchos Shabbos. Right? We're saying that this is the chiddush of parts where women is good, but if you would have a similar type of a scenario in Hilchos Shabbos, it would be no good. What do you think about the following situation? My architectural skills are not that good, but please bear with me on this one. Okay? It's a Shabbos. Okay, it's a Sukkah. It's a Shabbos. Maybe get somebody to get in my office. There are a bunch of other markers of the same benefits. Okay, so here we have Hilchos Shabbos. Now, why did I leave this fourth wall blanket over Shabbos? Because, quite frankly, what? You don't need it. We're talking about Hilchos Hashus HaYochid. Except according to the Rambam, according to Rub the Rubi the Rishonim, the Hashus HaYochid Yerayis exists with a merely three walls. The Rambam will say you need four walls. We're going to leave him out for now. Okay? So I want to know as follows. And again, I hope my math is going to add up over here. If not, Mr. Zemsky won't be so proud of me. Okay. Here we go. We've got enough for the next month. I start to do as follows. I start to chisel away some of these walls. Yeah, the less than tefachim, then they don't exist. No, they're not holes. Oh, of course, I left the corners. It wouldn't be a pischa b'keren zavus. I would never make a pischa b'keren zavus. You're chayshim me. Okay? So basically, again, if, trust, the math may not add up properly, but does anyone understand what I'm trying to get at? You may come to the following realization, that if you add up this and 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 what else? And this, you may end up with what? It's quite possible that the numbers may end up, by golly, I made apart. What do you think about that? You think that's okay? You think that's all right? So according to what Rashi just told us, that is called parts of alignment. You take into the math, into the calculation, the irrelevant part, the part that you didn't even need in the first place, and yet some of that adds up to the numbers. You're going to have a bomb chumra here. You're going to tell me that this area is not of shesiyachid deraisa. Are you willing to say? Are you ready to say that? Well, if you hold Rashi's newfangled way of doing math and architecture, that we don't only focus on that which we need to make the cheshbon, but we focus on the whole geometric figure called the square, the whole rectangle, the whole area we're surrounding, even including the parts of the chitz that weren't even said unnecessary, a chiddush gadol. So you're going to be led some bizarre conclusion. You're going to tell me that that's still good enough for Shabbos. So this Rashi is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. It's difficult because, like misvara, like mehechet teisei, this should, the outside part should be in cheshbon. And if you really say teisei, if you say you really believe it does, then you have to carry that over to Shabbos, which would be even more strange. So these are not my tainas against Rashi. You know who makes these tainas on Rashi? You're going to be surprised. We usually don't quote this in the Shir and Halacha. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh is usually, you know, people say, Teiriz and Shalashudis. But the Or HaChaim HaKadosh also learned, obviously, regular Gemara, Sukkot HaZayit. And he actually wrote a Perush on Masechah Sukkot called the Rishon LeTzion. Rishon LeTzion on Masechah Sukkot. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, in the Kovetz of Masechah Sukkah, you have to go to the Esoteric Svarim, the Kovetz of Masechah Sukkah in the Rishon LeTzion, so he takes this Rashi apart. He says the Rashi doesn't make any sense. Like Mehechateis at the bottom counts, Mehechateis doesn't care of Shabbos. So very, very, very difficult part. This Rashi is very, very difficult. But basically, there's something else that emanates from this Rashi. Some Dina, some Halacha, some big, big Chiddush Allah comes out from this Rashi. What would be the did? I'm trying another marker. What would be the din of a sukkah if I was trying to build a sukkah? Oh, now I'm talking. Which time kill chosons? I feel a tefach. And I had some real big gaps here. Some real, 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 real big ones. Don't touch those corners. It's a big geschmack of gaps here. Ignore the possibilities, I mean, don't get such a. I had some big gaps in the walls. What would you think about the sukkah? Would you be okay with the sukkah? They're big. More than the oymed. I didn't say 10 amas, they're more than the oymed. So this side is Paretz Meruba. And this side is Paretz Meruba. But on the other hand, I have shtaiva for shusha filo tefach. Why would anybody think that such a sukkah would be kshera? Because that's what the Gemara says where? An agamar. The Gemara says, yaseira sukkah al Shabbos, right? Yaseira Shabbos al sukkah, I'm sorry. So be Shabbos you need omer v'laparetz, and be sukkah. You don't need omer v'laparetz. So if you wouldn't bother reading Rashi, if you're just doing daf yomi quickly, you didn't even bother reading Rashi, you would have passed that this sukkah is okay. Come to Rashi and says, no. There's nowhere in Shas does it say that a wall of a sukkah doesn't have to be omer v'laparetz. A wall of a sukkah has to be omer v'laparetz. No question about it. The only cooler that we're willing to negotiate is if the sach hakol of the sukkah is not omer v'laparetz, so that's okay. But when you with each particular wall, no, each particular wall, of course, has to be omer v'laparetz, similar to what? To what? To the Shabbos. Because if Rashi would hold that this sukkah is also kosher, so Rashi should have given this as the tzir. He should have given this as the illustration. What is Rashi misleading us and telling us down, creating us a cup with this crazy picture? Why did Rashi give this simpler, more posher picture? The answer is the more posher picture is wrong. Because this is not included. Paretz Meruba on each wall per atzma is not nichlal in this braise at all. So it comes out from Rashi that are there differences between Shabbos and Sukkah? Yes. But are there that many differences? No. So how do we understand this? What's going on in Rashi? Make up your mind. Is Shabbos like Sukkah? Sukkah like Shabbos or not? What's going on? So l'chaira, the answer is that Rashi holds as follows. That there's a standard called Halacha Moshe Sinai, what the definition of a mechitza is. When the Rebbeinu Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu Hilchas Mechitza, so he told him a lot of things about Mechitza. He told him the dinim of Lavud, and he told him the dinim of Gud Hasik, the Gud Haches, whatever that means, and maybe Mechitza Shechalam B'fnei Haruach, whatever the details of Mechitza are. He told Mechitza has to be 10 Tvachim, all the ABCs of Mechitza were Nimtzal Moshe Rabbeinu. And one of the dinim that was Nimtzal Moshe Rabbeinu was Omed Meruba L'Paretz. How do I know that? How do I know that that was in Slamash Rabbeinu? Because that's what it says in Erevin, except for the right. But that's exactly what the Gemara says. Hachak Rebbeinu of Moshe. That halacha Moshe Mesinai, that the definition of a mechitza means ten tvachim, mitalavud, it has the characteristics of good asik, it has to be chal hamibruch metzuya, it has to be umbrella parts. All the dinim of mechitzas were not nimsel Moshe Rabbeinu only in Hilchos Shabbos. They were nimsel Moshe Rabbeinu kol atarku, but every year there's a need for mechitzas. Where else there's a need for mechitzas? So one other area that happens to be a need for mechitzas is Hilchos Sukkah. So any halacha that depends upon the definition of a mechitza, Shabbos and Sukkah are the same. And therefore Rashi is reading the Braisa, and the Braisa says, oh, by the way, Hilchos Shabbos needs all the parts, and Hilchos Sukkah doesn't. Rashi stops the Braisa and says, it can't be. It doesn't make any sense. If you're going to tell me that the standards are different, so how do you know love is the same? How do you know good asik is the same? How do you know your tefachim are the same? You can't start breaking up and saying some of the dinim carry over, some of them don't carry over. There was a din of Hilchos Mechitzas. Hilchos Mechitzas kala chol terakul about Shabbos and Sukkah. So Rashi read the Brayse and says it can't mean what it says. It's impossible to mean what it says. So what did the Gemara mean? So now Rashi comes and says the Gemara must have meant this as follows. We know that in addition to the din of definitions of Mechitzas, there were other dinim that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu as to how do you define certain Rishuyos. This is Hilchos Mechitzas. This is Hilchos Rishuyos. There are certain halachas that depend upon an area being enclosed. Some dini ha-teira depend upon certain locations, certain areas being enclosed. What are some of those areas of dini ha-teira that have to be enclosed? Rishus ha-yachad ha-shabbos has to be enclosed. A sukkah filled yeshiva b'sukkah has to be enclosed. And the beis hamikdash, and come with other areas maybe. The two that we're focusing on are sukkah and shabbos. So vos is called, how many mechitzas are necessary to cordon off an area? I'm not talking about how many mechitzas are necessary to. I'm not talking about what didn't make up a mechitza, make up the cheftz of mechitza. I know that already. That was last week's shiur in Halachos Roshina. I chazed that. I got hung in that pechina. Last week was dini mechitzas, and now it's dini rishuyos. So how many walls are necessary to make rishuyos? Oh, now there are differences. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu. This is part two. This is shiur number two. In rishuyos, to make rishuyos hayochid, how many walls do you need? So guess what? Depends who was at the shiur. Rov Rishon were at the shiur and they walked away saying what? How many walls are necessary to make a Rishus HaYochid? Three. The Rambam apparently heard four. Okay, so whatever the Rambam, how the Rambam got to that sheet, we're going to leave out the Rambam for now. When it came time to learn how many mechitzas are necessary to make the Rishus for the Sukkah, all of a sudden the dinim were given differently. All of a sudden the dinim were given Shtayim Kehilchason Ushlis Afilu Tefach. Rabbi Shimon Taka, when he was at the Chia, what did he walk away with? Shalosh Shekil Chasan and Riyas Afil Tefach. Again, we don't follow Rabbi Shimon. So we follow Allah, that the Allah was seen in Hilchas Rishus, which time Kachasan and Shalosh Afil Tefach. Comes Rashi and says, when we're being done on a mechitza per se, on one single individual mechitza, it is ludicrous to distinguish between Shabbos and Sukkah. It's not much identical. And therefore, just as Lovat is the same, Gudask is the same, everything is the same. But when we're being down on Rishuyos, we know there are different. We know there are different standards of Rishuyos. One is two and a piece, and one is three, one is four, whatever the numbers are. That within that second din of being down on Rishuyos, so now there's also a din that you have to have. Omed what? What do you have to have? You have to have Omed Ruvel Aparatz. But wait a second. That din of Omed Ruvel Aparatz in Hilchos Sukkah has to be different than Hilchos Shabbos. Why does it have to be different than Hilchos Shabbos? Because the din of Rishuyos were given differently. The Rebbeinu Shlom said, Pemole, this wall could be open. So Lichten, this wall, this cooler that this wall could be open, tells us that when we measure the total surrounding area in Hilchos Sukkah, we do it with a little bit of a different, a little bit of a different eye than we do what we would have thought we did. Nichlol that halacha mashdim shtayim kichos hashlus v'lo tefach is that we can be machshir this, even though it's quote unquote parutz meruba lo'omed, but just because we're machshir this parutz lo'omed, we're never going to be machshir this parutz lo'omed. This is not halachas rishus, this is halachas mechitzas, and halachas mechitzas are the same. Halachas mechitzas are not negotiable. You need all meruba parts. So at the end of the day, la halacha Rashi shita is there's no way under the sun such a sukkah is going to be kosher. This is out of the question. Notwithstanding Rashi's very innovative way of reading this Gemara, very creative way of reading this Gemara, it is clear that the Rambam did not read the Gemara this way. I don't know for certain how the Rambam did read the Gemara, but I know he didn't read the Gemara.
This whole mechanism we need to understand Rashi and saying that idea of Omer Merubin, you have to use it by Sukkah and Shabbos, is also interesting. I'm not going to have to tell him he's right.
You mean this is okay? So the way I was over dramatized like I usually do. That Sukkot, Shabbos, and non-negotiable, they're identical, right? That's why I was screaming, they're identical, and I even said under my breath, "Good Asik," and like it hurt me when I said that because I know that there are some Rishonim who don't buy into this, including okay. Well, depending on, okay. So Rabbi Sai, let's take a look at the Rambam and try to figure out how the Rambam learned this Gemara. So the sixth of the Maamar Kaimis, the Rambam paraphrases this Gemara. In Perek Dal Loch Yedeis Noch Sukkah, Sukkah Sheish Tapsachim Rabim, a lot of doorways. V'yesh B'Kselech Chalenis Harbei, which is not even clear what the windows are doing there altogether, what that role is, that's another time, another place. Harezek Sheir. The Rambam says it's great. V'yafah B'Shepos B'Reloimi, even though it's Pos B'Reloimi. And then the Rambam starts telling you limitations to what he just said. Well, we don't even know where the Rambam got his limitations from. That's the next part of the sugya. But we can stop for now. The Rambam says, Sukkah sheyesh apsachim rabim, v'yesh b'kselech alein es harbei, harei zei ksheira, v'yaf al pi sheparis b'ru b'lohimid. A lot of walls, a lot of holes, and everything's hunky-dory. Did the Rambam say anything whatsoever about adding up all four in a total? The Rambam's talking about what? The walls themselves. The Rambam's talking about the walls. In the kaisel of the sukkah, there are a lot of walls. There are a lot of holes. And that's okay. That's okay. So this imagery, this illustration that Rashi said can't be, because this is halacha b'Shem Sinai, that it's just inconceivable that this should be so, because Rashi's screaming, Shrayin Chavayim, you can't separate the walls, definition of walls and Shabbos and Sukkot, it's impossible. The Rambam says it's very possible, of course you can. And you can have a tzur of a Sukkot that's Kshera, even though you have a paras b'ru v'loimid in the wall itself. It's clear from the Rambam, he didn't learn Rashi's pshat. There's no remez, no zeich of Rashi's pshat in the words of the Rambam. So the Rambam has entertained the possibility of a wall in a chasukah having significant breaks in it, and it's okay. That's fine. That's perfectly okay. Comes the Baggy Mishnah. I think I put the Kesmish on the Memekemis. Because Kesmish quotes the Baggy Mishnah, then he comments on it. Comes the Magi Mishnah and is elaborated upon by the Kesef Mishnah and basically has one kasha against what the Rambam just said. It's impossible. Nobody would ever makshe such a wall for a sukkah. And you know what the underlying problem of the Magi Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah is? You know what the underlying concern, the underlying objection to be makshe such a sukkah is? You know what it is? What's bothering? Why is the Magi Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah about to turn this Rambam upside down? Why? What is inconceivable to the Magen Mishnah Kesef Mishnah? The same thing that was inconceivable to who? To Rashi. That is, the Rishonim had in their mind that you can't be makshe a wall of a sukkah that's par with Murim B'Laimed. Because the Gemara says, Hachi Agarach Manalam Moshe, that's not a mechitza. And it is inconceivable that the walls of mechitza and the walls of sukkah should be any different from one another. And therefore, the Magen Mishnah is reading the Rambam. Kesef Mishnah is reading the Rambam. They're both fully aware of what Rashi said. They don't believe Rashi's pshat is what the Rambam is saying at all, by any stretch of the imagination. It doesn't at all fit into the words of the Rambam. But they are searching for an alternate pshat. Because to say what the Gemara sounds like, to say, the guy who said the Daf Yomi Shir and didn't read the Rashi, didn't read the Rambam, didn't read it, probably would have touched up the Gemara that way. The Magen Mishnah says, it's crazy. It can't lo nitan le'amer such dvarim that the walls of a sukkah don't need over the parts. Halachah Moshe was across the board, Shabbos and sukkah. So what does it mean? So Rashi came with a very creative pshat, but that's not the Rambam. So the Kesef Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah came with another creative pshat. You know what the other creative shot? Who understood what the Makabish Kesem Mishnah was saying? What's the other creative shot? That the third wall doesn't have to be Amid Rimula parts. To say that the first two walls don't have to be Chalila Onita Amir Davar Kazah. Can't be. The first walls can have a little crack here and there. That will let. Chronos is staying intact. That will go. We'll let you get away with that. What are the percentages in this wall? How much Omer? 80%. How much here? 85%. How much here? 10%. That's okay. And al zeh nema bebraisa, good morning, al zeh nema bebraisa, that Omer b'vura parts is not necessary in the chasukah. That's what the Rambam means when he says that Yesh b'ksaleh chalenis harbe. Ksaleh means the third wall has chalenis harbe, has psachim harbe, but the first two walls chalil v'chalil. So shteit in Magid Mishnah and Kesef Mishnah. What do you think? What do you think about this Pshat in the Ram? I appreciate what prompted the Pshat. I know why the Magid Mishnah and Kesef Mishnah were so pained. I could feel their pain. But I can't understand the solution. Why can't I understand the solution? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with this? Let's see here.
How do you count that last wall also, the fourth wall?
I did such a job. Rashi did such a good job convincing you that the fourth wall counts. The Rambam says the fourth wall doesn't count for anything. The fourth wall is irrelevant.
You count the whole third wall, even though you only need a tap-off, wouldn't touch the fourth wall?
Okay. Now you're starting, Pierre. Okay, let's see if we can formulate a little bit more.
We lynched this to the tabach already, kind of palatine.
Oh. This pshat is pilei plein. I'm reading a braisa of Zayin and Masechah Sukkah. I've been learning Sukkah. It's already a week before Thanksgiving. We're going to be for 3 months, Masechah Sukkah. We finished Hilni Amalka we spent on the first month. We're talking about mechitzas for the last 3 weeks, and we were so rang of talk. We were reading Reb Chaim's and Ramban's, and we, you know, everything was about sukkah. And we get to this breakthrough, a new sugya. It's also going to be a new man. We got a new sugya. And what's the sugya? I'm going to burn until sukkah. And the Braisa says, "Let me tell you, chiddush to break earth shattering alert, alert. You're getting 16 warning alerts from YU, a safety alert, warning alert. Here's the alert. What's the alert? The alert is that if you build the sukkah, the two walls, and the third wall is a tefach." The sukkah is okay, and don't be worried about the fact that there's more parts than only. That's okay. You're right. I need a price of Zion. I'm going to tell me that. Every little kid knows. The Rambam told us that 10 halachas earlier when he introduced how to build a sukkah. Thus is the baisa. That's the grandiose chiluk within Shabbos and sukkah we've been waiting for. I didn't say it didn't wrong, it's just completely superfluous. So the Kesef Mishnah says you're right. That cannot be pshat in the Rambam Kipshutai. You have to add a little bit more to make this pshat workable. Says Kesef Mishnah, you have to do as follows. This sukkah, the way it stands, I don't need a braisa to say that it's kosher. But what would you say if I did the following? What would you say if I decided to extend this sukkah all the way down to here? Okay? Math is not going to end up properly. I'm going to go. Okay? And now, I'm looking at this third wall, and I'm saying to myself, wait a second, this is not a shlish safil tefach anymore. This is a third wall. What made this into a grandiose third wall? Because I added this shmish. I didn't have to, but I did. So now, all of a sudden, wait a second. You just built yourself a third wall. A third wall, oy, oy, oy. You're going down the route of Hilchos Mechitzes. One of the rules that governs Mechitzes, it's got to be what? Omer Rula Parts. Is this third wall Omer Rula Parts anymore? How much of this wall is Omer? I do my math and I come to the realization that it's only 45% Omer. It's got a big, giant gap. This is 22.5%, this is 22.5%, and this is too much. Too much for Pirza. So I theoretically would have said, ay, 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 the sukkah is psula, because it's paras merubalaybin on that third wall. Kamash balon the brice, and no, it's okay. You know what the kamash balon is? That in hilchas sukkah, what do I mean hilchas sukkah? Hilchas sukkah on the what? On the third wall, there's no din of Amar Laparut. On the first two walls of Adar, there is. Aber on the third wall, there's no din of Amar Laparut. That's the Chiddush of the Braisa. So to say that each wall doesn't need Amar Laparut, that's great. That's wrong, says the Magen Mishkan. That's ridiculous. To say that the Braisa is just telling me that there's a din of Shizafil Tefach, just like that, that's Nos de Pshita. The Chiddush of the Braisa is, even though I built more of a wall, I would have thought that it's possible because now it's possible. But I made kamash b'lam, it could be the sign for leaf, that's okay. So I state the halige halige kesef mishnah. That's the pshat in the Rambam. I put my hand up if I have a good time. Shailu shemayim. Do you have this pshat? What does this mishnah say? Do you understand this? Logically, think logically for a minute. There are two magic words we should invoke in this sugya. You know what it's called? You ever heard the term Dal Behacha? Ignore this little piece of the bottom. Nobody needed it in the first place. Why did I put this in the bottom? Because my wife came out of Erev Sukkah and she looked at the sukkah and she said, come on, we're going to sit in such a sukkah. It's very open. The animals are going to come in. You got to do something about it. They're going to think we can't afford making a big sukkah. So he says, okay. He goes to the backyard, pulls out a piece of wood and sticks it over here. Show him my Yisrael. Nobody needed that third piece of wood. Now Pete did when Moshe Rabbeinu comes in, so he doesn't even look at this piece of wood. For all practical purposes, this sukkah ends where? The defunders of the sukkah end over here. You're going to tell me a story that the defunders of the sukkah end over here, but when we make a cheshbon of Omer Mila parts, we're going to look past because this nincompoop, his wife told him to put a piece of wood there. Mecha Taisek. The pasha's advarim is that the kesef mishnah didn't really solve the problem. That what's the name of the sukkah? This sukkah is the shtayim b'chosan shishtafil tefach. This piece of wood is doing nothing. If this piece of wood is doing nothing, so it's vayt the shtayim b'chosan shishtafil tefach. The fact that Omer reports is necessary. I don't need the price in sukkah of Zion. I already learned shtayim b'chosan shishtafil tefach. So the kesef mishnah is so is very very difficult, very very difficult. You know, fear me, like who am I to say? I'm not the only one who made this aura. It's a very very difficult. So Rabbi say we are running out of time, running out of work for this Rambam. We are running out of interpretations of what the Braisa is. We have this grandiose Braisa, so we don't know what it means. So Rashi's shot was unbelievably creative, but we didn't think it was right. And the Rambam, I mean, we didn't. Hey, please, yeah, everyone should be Michael's eye. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we talk the excitement of the sugya. I say things that maybe don't sound bekavadik enough. So, you know, Moshe Bador, that's bekavadik. Okay, everyone understands. So maybe Rashi's shot, we couldn't understand Rashi's shot. We were certain that the Ram didn't say there's no zech in the Ram of Rashi's Pshat. So what is the Ram of Pshat? So we had to say something about the third wall. So the Magen Mishnah gets Mishnah leaving us hanging, but it's still not on the Pshat. Yeah.
Going to the Kesef Mishnah though, it is still a chiddush to say that it's kosher even though you have that, or else you'd never have a pircha that's more than 10 amos.
I don't know, 10 amos, we haven't heard of pircha 10 amos in Surya. The Ram is the first one who made a pircha 10 amos. Until we read the next round, we never heard of such a thing. We get hanging. So what could the Rambam have meant? He didn't mean Rashi, and we're not so sure he meant Litkibak Mishkes Mishnah. What could he have meant? Is it possible that the Rambam meant what nobody else had the guts, so to speak, to say? Nobody for the last 45 minutes was willing to read the Baisa as saying what? What was the baseline? John, what was the baseline? No Risha, neither Rashi nor Magen Mishnah, nobody's willing to say that the Braisa means like who? Like the guy who's giving Daf Yomishia, who didn't look in the article, he just read the words. What did he say? He said, it says in the Braisa that for a sukkah, you don't need Omer Laparetz. You know what that means? That each wall of the sukkah doesn't need Omer Laparetz. You're right. You don't need Omer Laparetz. You're right. You taka don't. There's no din of Amrul Aparat in a sukkah. And the definition of a sukkah is, I'm sorry, the definition of a mechitza for a sukkah is what, Rabbi say? Is different than the definition of mechitza in a Shabbos. That which nobody was willing to take the risk to say until now, that's probably what the Rambam is saying. That in Hochinami, that the Braisa is kipshuto mamish pshuto kimashmo, that whereas in Nuchas Shabbos there is a halacha Moshe Sinai called Gedar Ruba Lo Tiferet Ruba Mila Poritz, that halacha was never said in Nuchas Sukkah. The taka was never said in Nuchas Sukkah. It's not Rashi's story that Yecheshbin out the fourth one. Not the Rambam story Yecheshbin the third one. This war, Rabbi Sai, this guy, 40. This guy, 40. The Rambam says that sukkah is okay. This thing, this, no one ever heard of such a thing. This number is irrelevant. Even licked in the first two walls, you don't need unreal parts in the sukkah. That's what the Rambam said. Exactly what the Gemara said. How do I know that's exactly what the Rambam said? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh told me that, John and the Rambam. And you know where he proved it from? Where did the Or HaChaim HaKadosh prove it from the Rambam? Read the Rambam yourselves. Sixth Rambam, Kermis, Bergdalach, he based Sukkah Shesha Psachim Rabim, V'yeish, what's the next word? What's the next word? What's the next word? B'ksoleha. A little bit of diktik, Rabbi, you say, what does ksoleha mean? Is that a Lashon Yochid or a Lashon Rabim? It's a Lashon Rabim. Ksoleha. Hakasolim shalah. Not hak, how would you say single kosel? B'kosla, not ksoleha. If Balkari would say because Kosla, I would correct him on this one. It's a different world. I don't know what to think. I'm just making up. I have no idea. Bixalel, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says the Lashon Rabim. The Rambam's talking about all the walls of the sukkah. How many grand walls of the sukkah are? There are only two. The third one doesn't count. The third one's easy. The Rambam's saying what nobody else was willing to say. This is a kosher. You know why it's kosher? It's based on the principles of no need for omen rule apart to Nuchas Sukkah. Never heard of it, never said, never was said, never will be said. There's no need for omen rule apart to Nuchas Sukkah. Says the Rechaim HaKodesh B'das this Rambam, it's Mamash Pshuto the Gemara. Before Rashi and the Makamishka Smisha, this is the way you would have read the Gemara anyway. Says the Rechaim HaKodesh, according to this, I could build a sukkah in a really, really strange way. I could build a sukkah that I don't even really need seven tefachim for a sukkah. I could build a sukkah in a bizarre way. I could start building a sukkah. Look at this one. A very, very strange sukkah. I don't know if I'm going to be successful in this one. I'm going to try it and you tell me if it works. Keep those corners. It's the same distance. Let's appear. Sleep. One second. What do you think about that sukkah? What's the problem? We learned earlier this year, Zayin al Zayin Tvachim. You have to have a sukkah that's seven tvachim by seven tvachim, right? No, isn't that the did? So I have seven tvachim by seven tvachim. Where am I seven tvachim by seven tvachim? This wall is seven tvachim by seven tvachim. What's the problem? What's the problem? It's got a gap of 5.5 tvachim in the middle. But then, who cares? What's a little gap between friends? I'm not making an Erev, I'm building a sukkah. And I read the Gemara B'Ksoleh, I followed the Rechaim HaKadosh with the Rambam, that you can have parts of the Lomit even within the wall itself. What's the problem? I have a seven tefachim wall. It's missing a little bit, but who cares? It's a few tefachim between friends. That's also a kosher sukkah. See, Mr. Alt is having a lot of trouble telling me why he thinks it's possible.
I
never heard of that. That was last semester. That was the beginning of the semester. I heard Lenny Irvin. What is wrong with this sukkah? So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, if you follow the Rambam according to the logical outcome, there should be nothing wrong with this sukkah. It can't be. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, there must have been Nimsar. When it was Nimsar, the Shear, 7th Tvachim, you have to build a sukkah. the gufa suk has got to be there. Keep the suk in the air. So the seven tefachim by seven tefachim are not touchable. That has to be mamish, kedas, chedin, mechit, the real bukhur. Right, now we're running into trouble over here. So once you tell me that somehow that's not, this is a joke, this is like such a farce of it, this is a purim, so that's so this. Can't pull the sukkah in thin air. So once you tell me that even the Rambam is moide, that the seven tefachim have to be intact, so my hani lon the brayis and of zayin, what's the answer? What's the chiddushah? So what's the significance of the halacha that you don't need own real apartments anymore? If you just told me, if you were willing to go on record and say this sukkah is kosher, and you're out of your mind and say this sukkah is kosher, good. But you don't want to be called that. It's crazy. It can't be. It's impossible. So what's the significance of everything that the Rambam Derech Chaim Kadosh just told us? It says Derech Chaim like this. I build the basic tzura of a sukkah I have. Bear with me on the numbers, okay? Yeah, okay. I have seven tefachim, one tefach. That's my basic sukkah, okay? That I built kedas chadin, no pirtzes, no nothing. It's omid lugamre. Not a pirtze, not a nothing. I don't even need a doorway, I can walk through this side, okay? But my wife comes out, Erev Sukkot, and what does she say to me? She said, this is ridiculous. We got six kids and I invited 14 guests. Who's where we're going to sit? So the guy decides, I better extend the sukkah a little bit. So he starts to scrounge around, extend the sukkah. So he's going to start to make the sukkah much, 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 much bigger. Go all the way down here. What's the problem? He runs to Home Depot. He's got a bad back, can't carry that many. There's a wood bath. So at the end of the day, he scrounges around, he starts building up the sukkah a little bit, and he ends up a sukkah somewhere along the following, right? Here we got break of eight, here he builds five, here he builds, his wife's standing and screaming at him, he's got 15, here he's got two, all right? Let's do the math. I hope it adds up. Seven and five is 12, 14. He's got 14 oymed and 23 parts. Okay? What do you think about this sukkah? Where's everybody going to sit in the sukkah? Everyone's going to be squashed over here? No. What halacha is going to let us leave that squashy spot, what's it called? Taliyot to Minasukah. Provided that we're still what? At least we have something going with us. We have to be within a wall of something. So here we're going to put all the guests over here. Are they in the sukkah or out of the sukkah? What do you think? According to pre-Rambam, pre-Rachayim HaKadosh, are they in or out of the sukkah? According to pre-Rambam, Rachayim HaKadosh, Hilcha Sukkah is subject to the same rules of what? Of omen rubel parts, and therefore, up until here, it's still kosher. This is dami hachal the rest. But the minute you want to say this is the wall of the sukkah, you want to let people sit all the way in the bottom of the sukkah, then you got to be done based on regular luchas mechitzah v'chashavas, and you're subject to the limitations of omen rubel parts. So you can't let this up solid in the sukkah. That's next door. That's in the middle of the street. So you can't sit there. Kump, the special Bryson of Zayim and Alf Masech HaSukkah tells us, when you've been down in the furnace of the Sukkah, there is no limitation of the parts. A feel the parts of it is good, it's different from the Shabbos, and therefore, this entire wall, notwithstanding the fact that the numbers don't add up to more Omed, this wall is still considered to be a Mechitza. And where does the Sukkah end? What are the line segments of the Sukkah? Where does it end? Tell me. According to who does it end here? Rashi, Magen Mishka, the sukkah ends here. And the wife is fuming. And according to the Rambam, where does the sukkah end? It ends over here. But to say that you can get away without this base of 7x7, one with real standing and no kutzur, Chalila b'chalila says Yerachai. That's the pshat and the brayis of a sechah sukkah of Zion and Halev. For you say a sukkah al Shabbos, Shabbos, Bohina, and da-da-da, say Shabbos or Sukkah, whatever it is, Shabbos needs over Ruba, and Sukkah doesn't. So Rabbi says, so we have three tsiyurim in the Rishayim. Three possibilities as to what is the significance of this Braisa. Either the Braisa is telling me something unbelievable, creative, like Rashi, that some of you dan on the Mokam HaRishus, not on the Mechitza, Horazal, Dazal, Shukkah, Teira, that's Rashi's Prat. But according to Rashi, to allow a person to be within one Mechitza is out of touch of reality. A shaykh. According to the Magen Mishnah Mishnah's version of the Rambam, it's also not Shayach, but unlike Rashi, they had to come up with another creative shot, so they came up with the creative shot of the third wall, but the third wall was most Pshita, so he had to come really, really creative and throw another piece on, but we didn't really understand why that piece makes any difference. And the third pshat is the alternate pshat, the Yerachayim HaKadosh is Bidasa Rambam, that it means Kipshuto on the wall. But even the Yerachayim has to put the brakes on the pshat. It can't really mean within the Sefer Tzvachim itself, means in the additional superfluous wall is not subject to limitations of a Rav Parks. Rabbi say, what's in the heart and soul of the sugya? Three different pshat and three different iterations. What's in the lump? What's in the kishkas of the sugya, Rabbi say? What's the ultimate fundamental question in the sugya? The relationship between what and what? Between Sukkah and Shabbos and Shabbos and Sukkah. Are the standards ultimately the same, or is there really room to negotiate a difference? So conventional wisdom before the Rambam's or Chaim's pshat was that they're fundamentally the same. The only differences are going to be expressions of the fact that Shlisha Fil Tefach is different. So Rashi and the Magen Mishnah will give you nuances of how that plays out Lamaisa. But in the heart and soul, the kishkas of Hilchos Mechitzas are the same. And the Rambams, according to the Rechayim, there is some fundamental diversion between Shabbos and Sukkah. Omer reports in one place, no one reports in another place. This is, of course, almost a flip side of which Sukkah? Of Bechidah Sheni Karos. In the Sukkah Bechidah Sheni Karos, we saw that according to half the Rishonim, the standards are the same. Gudask is the same. Chayk Vilo Yavor. The Gemara just meant that Gudasa doesn't always apply. That was Ramban, that was Rambam. The other Rishonim would say, no, there's a real, real difference between Shabbos and Sukkah. But in those Rishonim who said there's a real difference in Shabbos and Sukkah, there, what ended up being more machmir? Within those Rishonim who said that Sukkah has certain things that Shabbos doesn't have. Shabbos you can get away with Gudasics, Sukkah you can't. So we explained that away. How do we explain that away? Those were superimposed criteria based on what rule? What was responsible back in the Sukkah Bechitz Sheni Karos for the certain chumras that Sukkah may have had above me on Shabbos? Dira. Because it's not enough in Hilchos Sukkah just to make mechitzas. You have to make a bakum dira as well. So that we were almost able to understand. Here what we're saying is that there are differences between Shabbos and Sukkah, but in the opposite direction, that Sukkah ends up with coolers. How do you explain away that? Conceptually, how do you explain away that? That it's possible, according to the Rambams, or Chaim Strat in the Rambam, that there are some real live coolers in Hilchas Sukkah that don't exist in Hilchas Shabbos. Where did that come from? What's that based on? What criteria does Shabbos have above and beyond Sukkah? So the Chaim himself throws his hands up to that question. He says, you know, he's almost ready to give in, almost ready to retreat. But not yet. He's almost willing to give in to the baseline of all the other Rishonim who were so bothered with that kasha. He says, no, I stick to my pshat and the Rambam. I don't believe the other pshat and the Kselez, Lash and Rabbim. I don't believe the Magen Mishnah, the Rashi, the Shabbachai. I don't understand. And he's willing to stick to his pshat, but he's got to explain to us, Tachas, tell me, give me one of this why. My Haimanishtana, that Sukkah lets you get away with less standards than a Chashamas. What's the source for that? Hechet Teisa, that's true. I almost feel like the Gemara Menachos Daf Chavtes we mentioned before. Rabbi Akiva is giving lumdas and lumdas and lumdas and lumdas and lumdas, and then the Talmud has the Kasha, and Rabbi Akiva was stumped. And what did Rabbi Akiva say? Oh, see, it's exactly what the Ruach Chaim HaKadosh. He tells him, he says, Mistama kach nemar halacha. He says, it must be that this is some halacha. This statement of the Braisa in Sukkah Dav Zayin is some mysterious halacha Moshem Sinai that built into the system was a kula. I don't know what else to say, he says. Built into the system must have been a kula. You know, in halacha in a kabel. Could we maybe add a drop, add a mashu to explain why it's not just a deep, dark, mysterious Lach Mishnah Sinai, but something we can almost put our fingers on? Conceptually, why perhaps Sukkah is a little bit more cow than Shabbos? We have precedent that Sukkah is more kal than Shabbos. That we do know. We don't have to make up Lachos Dina for that. We do know that. What is it? Shabbos, that's not true. Shabbos, you need three walls to be a Shisi Yachid minimum. But Sukkah is okay with Shabbos because of Shisi of Tefach. So do we have a right to say, just as we find that the Torah almost waters down the standards in Uchas Sukkah in terms of number of mechitzas, the Torah waters down the standards in Uchas Sukkah in terms of the amount of Makom Hekef also. Would that make any sense, that extrapolation? That just as we find a chiluk, we're not the first ones to make up a chiluk between the two. We already have precedent for a chiluk. So we can extrapolate one chiluk from another. It's very disturbing to do that. Why does that not sit right? What's wrong with that distinction? Because we think in brisket terminology, we think that, no. Just because there's a chiluk in hilchas, what? Hilchas, Rishos, numbers of mechitzas is a general term in terms of demarcating of a territory. How many walls are necessary to demarcate a territory? So just because the Torah spells out differences in Shabbos and Sukkah, mehechet teis, there's a difference in the etzim and mechitzas themselves. So we think, you can't just say, well, just because A is true, B is true. If A is apples and oranges, it's like apples and oranges, gadol mizeh. You're trying to teach me a kula in how to build a wall, and you're learning out there's a kula. Shabbos and Sukkah are different. How do Shabbos and Sukkah are different? Because Shabbos is every week and Sukkah is once a year. That's nice. Because Shabbos is on the seventh day and Sukkah is in Chodesh Tishrei. I mean, come on, give me a break. You can't just say arbitrarily, well, there's one kula different, there's another kula. If the kulas are rooted in different areas of Halacha Legamre, one's rooted in Kviyas HaRishus, and one's rooted in Hilchas Asiyas HaMechitza. What could we possibly do to avoid that objection? Maybe we have to go back to the drawing board and ask ourselves a question. What's the question we have to ask ourselves?
What's the purpose of wall and Shabbos?
What's the nature of the din of Omed Merubah Laparetz? It was Nimtzal Moshe Rabbeinu. What's it all about? What did Tzadim Rabbi say? How could you understand Omer Laparet? Are there two different ways to understand it? Is it a huh or is it a huh? Think about it tonight. What is Omer Laparet? What are the Uz and what's the Uz? Let me know tomorrow what your Uz think are. Okay? Let's jump tomorrow.